All right. Welcome. Hello to episode 4 of Small Screen Couch Commentary, Avatar The Last Airbender, Netflix edition.
Halfway through the season here now.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's been a couple of weeks since it premiered.
Yeah.
So there's a large portion of the audience that has probably already binged the entire thing, watched the entire show. Which is great. You're one of those people.
I am, and I'm watching it a second time around.
Yeah. I am just going week by week, watching it here, along with those of you that might be doing it. And I gotta say, I really liked this episode.
I really liked this episode, too.
I mean, I kind of knew where things were going, because obviously we know where they're at. They're in Umashu. The very end, you see the king. And if you've watched the original show, you know who the king is. They don't mention it in the end of the last episode.
Right.
But we know.
And they get to it pretty quick in this episode. Which, there's small changes here I wish they didn't make. Small changes I'm okay with them making. Overall, the episode was really good.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, what was you snacking on?
So, I was getting down on some pepperoni pizza. My favorite.
Wow.
Yeah. Clarissa often says that if I die and I become reincarnated as a food, it's going to be a pepperoni pizza.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I just had some coffee.
Okay. So
that's it. I just drank some coffee.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? That's okay. Some people have coffee as a snack. Nothing wrong with that.
I just needed some energy. You know, I was getting tired and I was like, I need to watch this again. And I'm glad I did. Again, I'm not going to lie to you. This episode hit me hard in some moments. And I'm glad I watched it again, because it hit me hard twice.
Well, let's move forward here then. What was your rating? I'm interested to see what you rated things here.
I gave it a 7.8.
Okay.
Okay. Not quite an 8, but very good. Very good.
Okay. I gave this an 8.0.
Oh, very close. Look at that. I like that.
Yeah. I had mentioned it in the last episode, and I'm going to say it again. I don't understand the hate that this show is getting.
Yeah. It shouldn't get it. We can talk about that.
Maybe it's just a little bit of me being in an echo chamber of the internet algorithms on YouTube and TikTok and stuff, that it's just, I'm seeing that, so then it's thinking I want to see that more. I don't want to see that more.
Yeah, but you are a hater.
I don't think the show is bad, like, at all. Are there some weak points to it? Sure, absolutely. The show is not perfect. But for a first season, I like it. And again, I'm again, looking at things moving forward here from a perspective of, I'm trying less and less to compare it to the old show, because I'm just looking at this as an Avatar story, you know, the same Avatar story, but being told through new eyes. It's being told to a new audience. So I'm trying to disconnect from what my mind thinks of the old show. And to be perfectly honest, it's been a while since I've watched it. I mean, I've gone clips and stuff here and there, but since I've gone and watched like full episodes or watched the entire series the whole way through, it's been a number of years.
Yeah, I watched it probably about 3 years ago for the second time. So it's fairly fresh in my mind. I will say, after seeing some clips on TikTok of the anime show, and I'm sitting here digging at Netflix for the dialogue being bad, the dialogue wasn't great in the animated show. However, it's a cartoon, so I kind of think I was expecting that maybe when I was watching that. But yeah, because I forget what scene it was in the cartoon, but I was like, yeah, you know what? I shouldn't be dogging too much on Netflix. Obviously, I'm always going to hope and see perfection. And no matter what, it's inevitable that you want to see some comparisons to the animated show. But it is its own story, and I want to see a good story. As a matter of fact, later on, there's a great change, and I love it. But we'll talk about that in a different episode. But anyway, so let's hop right into it. We start, it's real dark. And we hear Aang like screaming like, "Hello, is somebody around here?" You know? And turns out he's locked in a rocky prison cell with his arms like trapped, because obviously if he had been free, he could just break out.
Right.
And also next door, good old Uncle Iroh is there.
Yeah, as we recall from the previous episode, Uncle Iroh was allowing Zuko to escape.
By sacrificing himself.
So yeah. He was kind of ousting himself as being the firebender that was causing the issues in the marketplace, when really it was Zuko. And Aang also got caught because he was part of the fight and the commotion there. So the two of them got caught. They're both imprisoned now.
Yeah, and they have a nice conversation, which we'll get into. So this is the beginning of the show, and then the show kind of splits into three branches. So let's hit this, and then we can go each branch. How you feel about that?
I like it.
Organization. So, yeah, they have a nice conversation. He's talking about Zuko to Uncle Iroh, and he's like kind of asking him, why is he doing this? And he's like, to win. And so Aang is assuming it's to win this war. And Uncle Iroh's like, it's not. It's to be back, get pretty much...
back in his father's good graces.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and Aang at one point even says, like, well, you know, you sacrificed yourself for Zuko. Or, well, he's saying that Zuko is the one that caused the issue, and he's the one that's here. I'm starting to see the kind of person that Zuko is.
And Iroh defends him.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't really think you are. Do. Yeah.
And he also, there's something Iroh says that was real deep. But he kind of just says, basically, when he says that, I don't think you see him how you really think you see. Like, he isn't what you really think you see. I don't know if you noticed. This is the second time I noticed it. In the background, you get a little itch of Lee from the Vine.
Yeah. You get it at the end of the episode, too.
Oh, yeah. But there's a part in this episode where you get Lee from the Vine. And, man, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Tears almost swelled down my face, man.
Yeah.
I was not, first time watching, I was not expecting that. But, yeah, so I didn't realize it the first time. But you get a little bit of Lee from the Vine, and you get... Iroh kind of staring off and thinking about Zuko.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, this episode actually hit really well. So which storyline do you want to follow first? Would you want to follow Aang, Uncle Iroh / Zuko, or Katara and Sokka? Choose your own adventure.
Let's go with Katara and Sokka.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
So Katara and Sokka, one, they are at the Mechanist house again, and they're kind of interrogating him a little bit. Like, did you really do all this?
Yeah. He was, you know, working with the Fire Nation spies. And so they're kind of not trusting him as much anymore. They're wondering, you know, is he a good guy? Right. His own son is even like, whoa, like, you've been lying this whole time. So they're kind of just like, were you working with them? Why were you working with them? Like, why should we trust you? And he's basically telling them, like, yes, I was, but it's more complicated than what you think. It's not just as simple, like, I've been helping them out. He's saying, you know, the things he was helping them with or giving him, you know, were of no value.
They weren't weapons.
Yeah. And he wasn't giving them anything important.
And Sokka, big line here, anything is weapons.
In the hands of the Fire Nation.
Yeah, in a war, but especially in the hands of the Fire Nation.
Right, right.
So that's a big thing. And he says he's doing it because they said, if you keep doing this for us, we will leave you alone. We will not attack Omashu.
Yeah.
So that they kind of get in that conversation, and it kind of turns into Katara and Sokka wanting to get, how can we get to Aang? Because Katara comes in later, and she's like, oh, I know where Aang is. He's in prison.
Yeah.
So... they tell him, Teo tells him about a place called the Secret Tunnels. Secret Tunnel. What?
At this point, it's just the tunnels.
No, they say Secret Tunnel.
Later, yes.
No. Teo calls them the Secret Tunnel.
Are you sure?
100%.
I could have sworn he
just
said,
watched it 30 minutes ago, my brother.
Right. Making sure.
All right.
Making
Dude, sure. Trust me. He calls it Secret Tunnel. And that I remember even watching the first time. I go,
I know what that is.
They're going there.
Yeah.
So there's that storyline. Also, the Fire Nation spy does leave a note for the Mechanist talking about a meeting point to do something.
Yeah.
And Sokka does say to him, like, hey, this is your moment to say, yeah, we'll meet you there. And then you go let the King's Guard know about it. And he's kind of iffy. So
yeah, he doesn't really want to do it because he's afraid it's going to somehow backfire on him and that, you know, they will then punish him for kind of double crossing them. If he does anything outside of what they normally want him to do.
Yeah. So that's something he's iffy about. Sokka's trying to convince him to do that. But they don't have time to waste on that. They got to go get their boy Aang back.
Right.
So they ask a little bit about the tunnels. The tunnels are, nobody's come out alive. They're the Mechanist says they're just a myth. And what does Teo said? He's like, no, you told me about them. That's where the creators of this village used to meet up or something.
Yeah.
So they give you a hint of what these tunnels are going to be. So they head on their merry way after getting some maps so that could maybe help them through these tunnels that everybody gets lost in.
Yeah. Now, I kind of also knew where they were heading with this from what I remembered.
Yes.
From the original show. But I just wasn't sure how they were going to do it because from what I recall in the original show, this was just a different situation. And there were some other changes here as far as how everything kind of ended up.
Yes.
But I didn't mind how they did it in this episode.
Didn't love it, is what I'm going to say.
I didn't mind. It was, I don't want to say it was very different from what I remember, but it was different enough that I was like, yeah, this isn't what I recall.
Well, so the one thing is, this is how in the show, in the animated show, that's how they get to Amashu.
Right, right.
And so it's the whole group together, other than Appa.
Yeah.
I believe. I could be wrong. Appa might be in the tunnels.
I can't remember.
But
then again, though, just to not go off into tangent land, that's again why I'm trying to stop from comparing, because I'm not remembering everything just as it was.
And here's where my only thing is, and I think you've touched on this a few episodes, they're not going in at all.
In order.
No.
Sorry.
In Katara and Aang.
No.
Romantically.
No. Like, by this point in the show, like...
Aang's enter. Katara, yes. Still not sure, but the whole point of that... So let's move forward. The whole point of that episode of the animated show is Katara and Aang, but the whole group is in the secret tunnel, but they get split up. However, so they get to this entrance to the tunnel, and they're starting to hear some weird stuff go on, and they see these group of...
Yeah, they hear what they believe is like drum beats, and you kind of start to hear it a little bit too.
Yeah.
And then they get there and they see these people.
Yeah, some whatever, a band of people just playing music.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, why are you here? And he's like, it's a great play to play. He's like, but why here? And he's like, acoustics. And they all start singing. Yeah. And it's funny. So they're like, oh, well, if these guys, you know, can survive in the tunnels, so can we. And he's like, oh, these ain't the tunnels.
Yeah.
Those are the tunnels.
And they point over, and it's like this very ominous,
dark,
scary-looking tunnel system.
Yeah. And it's still weird how he explains to them how this tunnel was made. It's kind of weird how he opens up and say it, but I love the story.
Yeah. I mean, they essentially tell the story of...
Oma and Shu.
Yeah, and they're like the first earthbenders.
Yeah, so they loved each other. In the animated show, I think it was a guy and a girl, and this one, it's a girl and a girl. Not really important. So they're from two separate villages on the other side, each side of this mountain.
Right.
Kind of like a Romeo and Juliet thing. These villagers are at war.
Yeah.
But they love each other, so they meet at top of the mountain. How they do that is they would go through the tunnels. They learn how to bend from the badger moles.
Yes.
Who are the natural earthbenders.
Right.
So they learn how to meet each other by learning earthbending. They become very strong. I want to say Shu is the one that is killed by the one village. So then, or might be, what, it doesn't matter.
One of them dies.
So the other one.
War between their two, like, families or whatever, capitals.
Yeah, so the other one gets pissed off and could kill everybody with earthbending, because obviously at that time, nobody knows earthbending but them.
Right.
And they're like, but she doesn't kill him. She's like, hey, we're going to just create one village. We're all going to be happy together. And that's it. So they all create this village on top of the mountain or on the mountain or whatever, yeah, called Omashu, named after the two lovers. And so that's the story, and that's how the tunnels were made.
Right.
Cool. All right. So two lovers. And then we get the best thing from anything of Avatar.
I don't know about the best.
I know, but I love it. So they walk away, and they're going in the tunnels, and the musicians go, secret tunnel, secret tunnel. Through the mountain, secret, secret, secret tunnel.
Yeah.
There's actually more to it. There's actually a part where he goes, I don't remember the words, you know, and that's like that. But yeah, so that was the first part that made me real happy in this show.
It definitely was reminiscent of, you know, of what you see in the animated show. But I just love the the playfulness of this part, because... I've mentioned it before, mainly just with Aang, but there's not a whole lot of playfulness in the show. And this was kind of a nice little
callback break to the playfulness of all the characters. Even Sokka picks up, what are they called? Maracas or something. And he starts getting really into it.
Right.
And then he knows his guitar, sees him. He's like,
oop,
I'll put it back down.
Yeah. Right.
So that was pretty cool. So they get into the tunnels. It's pretty easy to say that it's like a maze in there. They're getting lost. They're trying to figure out, how do you get through these tunnels here? And Sokka thinks he's figured it out. He goes, oh, well, these glowing rocks seem to be leading us somewhere.
Yeah.
And Guitar is like, I don't think that's it. They're just randomly placed. Now, do you remember how what it is in the show, in the animated show?
No, I don't think I do.
It is the glowing rocks. So they go through. They find out it's not the glowing rocks. It leads them to a dead end. Sokka's like marking arrows as they're going through on these glowing rocks. He's like, well, that's weird. It leads to a dead end. So Katara's like, well, that's not right. So they start to get into an argument.
Yeah, very brother-sister-like argument. Similar to in the last episode yeah. where they're at the mechanist's house. And, you know, they're just going at each other because Sokka's treating her like she's a little girl. She's, like, trying to prove, like, hey, I'm not a little girl anymore. Like, and I'm part of this team. I'm as important as you are, you know, yada, yada.
Yeah, and she even at one point, like, he mentions their father, and she's like, you're not dad. And that's, like, where everything kind of gets awkward and quiet for a little bit.
Right.
So they do sit down and have a conversation saying, like, man, we're in a weird spot now. I mean, we used to just sit with Gran-Gran. She would stare at us creepily and say really weird things because she's Gran-Gran. But they were missing the food they would eat back home. Like, they're starting to realize they're not home. They're not kids anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and they think they have to treat each other like that as well. That's what I read from it. And they kind of get back into a better spot. And they're like, we'll have that food soon. Don't worry.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fine. But they still don't know how to get out. So they kind of backtrack. And he sees one of his arrows and he turns a corner. There's a dead end. He's like, we just turned this corner from an open tunnel.
And it's just a wall there. And he's just like, well, this wall wasn't here before. And Katara's kind of just like, well, that's impossible.
Unless
the tunnel is changing.
Is changing.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
So I think then they kind of go back the other way.
And they have a quick conversation about it. But not too long after that, when they say the tunnels are changing, they hear a rumbling.
Right.
And Sokka was real good in this episode. He said something funny like, tell me I imagined that, right? And it just cracked me up because he looks, it sounds like Sokka from the animated show. Again, not quite as loud, but like it's still his humor.
Yeah.
And at this point, the rumbling gets louder. There's a roar and the classic Badger Mole entrance.
Yeah. And like, if you've never seen the original show or you didn't watch this episode yet, this Badger Mole is not just like, you know, like a small little thing. Like, this is a gigantic.
It's as big as Appa.
Yeah. Yeah,
if not bigger.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's a badger, like honey badger type shit, dude. It's got a mean old face, but it's a mole. It's weird. So they're running from it. There's a cool little like chase scene. It grabs Sokka at one point. Katara splashes it with water it lets go of Sokka.
Yeah. Now I do want to just touch on that really quick.
Touch on it, maybe.
Katara had she had gotten like a little canteen water pouch type thing in the beginning of the episode, and she was kind of practicing her water bending a little bit
with it.
Yeah.
And actually at that point we forgot to mention Jet comes up and is real pissed at her.
Yes. Yeah, he's all
so flashback rewind.
Yeah, he's upset with her because she
ruined
his plans. To assassinate the mechanist and the king, and she's reminding him like, dude, like, yes, I stopped you, but it's because you were going to hurt innocent people. And he's trying again to basically tell her,
we have to do this.
This is the price of war. Like, this is just what happens. And she's just like, yeah, but like, you have good intentions, essentially. She's telling him, you have good intentions, but you're going about it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And she's just like trying to then like leave, and he's just not having it. And so
she does a nice little like I think he actually grabs her by the arm as she's walking away, and she does a little like a wrestling move, flips him up over her back, slams him down. They get into like fighting stances.
Yep.
And she just splashes him with water at first. And I'm like, oh, well, I ain't doing shit. And then she just starts to do a little motion and breathe and freezes
turns it into
him.
Ice.
And I actually really like this scene.
Yeah. You know, it's I struggled with that part for a little bit because I felt like, okay, she's gotten too good too quick. But then I'm also remembering like, okay, they haven't really made it clear how long it's been since they started their journey here. And really, it could have been a long time. But either way,
a few months, I would say. And she's been practicing every day.
Right. She's been practicing hard. And, you know, we're reminded as well then that because he mentions it to her, she's as good as she is because of him.
And then she goes,
he helped her like unlock her memory of her mom and whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, it wasn't because of you. It's because of me.
Get it, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty dope. So, yeah, we have to remember that happened. But, yeah, so she does have this pouch. So she hits the badger mole with their little pouch of water with a water whip.
Yeah.
Pow. And then.
Right in the eyeball, too.
Yeah, that poor badger mole. Too bad he doesn't see anyway. That doesn't matter.
Well, I don't think they knew that at that point yet.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a mole. So, yeah. Anyway, so they get away, and at one point, they're just trapped in a corner.
Yeah, and they're thinking they're about to get eaten alive.
This is it. You know, goodbye, Sokka right. and Katara. So they hold hands, and they just apologize to each other. It's just the sweetest moment.
It was touching.
It was okay. And the badger mole suddenly stops, and they're kind of confused. And Sokka's like, Sokka, you dead man.
Oh, gosh.
Was that bad?
That was
pretty
terrible.
Bad. Do it for me.
Terrible.
Hit me with it.
No, I'm not.
Sokka,
I'm not.
Dead man. No?
We're moving on.
And he says,
Runnings reference.
Yeah, man.
Didn't know.
Yeah, man. All right. So anyway, they're not dead. And Katara figures it all out. Love is brightest in the darkness.
Right. Because that was one of the things from Oma and Shu.
Yeah.
That, you know.
How you find your way through is because love is brightest in the darkness.
Right.
So they pretty much the mole's blind. It can sense feeling.
Right.
But the one it sensed the most is love.
And it sensed the love that they had for each other because they kind of started to make up.
Yeah, you know, sibling love.
Yeah.
And then Sokka's like, how do you think it does with verbal commands? And just goes, hey, you take us to the castle.
Yeah.
And the mole starts digging a tunnel and they're like,
they follow it. Yeah.
So I don't dislike this. I like the dynamic between Sokka and Katara in this show overall. The big brother putting down the little sister, you're not grown up yet, and them trying to figure that out.
Well, yeah, because you obviously you're thinking by the end of this, Katara's going to be coming into her own. Sokka's going to be less of a worrisome other older brother and realize that, you know, she is a person. Yeah. So I think we know where it's going, so I'm okay with whatever they're doing to set things up.
Yeah, I just feel like I don't know how you could do this, but it was just kind of abrupt, like, oh, I know, they smell feelings. Like, she doesn't know that. All that kind of stuff kind of hit me weird. It is different from the show. The show is actually, when the lights go out, those glowing stones show up, and that actually leads them to, like, a temple where the people would meet. And then the lights go out, even darker, and Katara and Aang might kiss. We don't know. And that's when the glow lights a certain way for them to go. And the badger moles are all involved in the show, the animated show as well. I don't mind they changed it. I kind of like that they threw a curveball at you. Like, Sokka's like, oh, I figured it out. It's the glowing balls. And then it wasn't. And I'm like, okay, you threw me for a curveball. It's just how it ended was weird for me. I kind of wish maybe when they, like, really cared about each other or something, like, certain glows, think like start some stones stopped glowing or something. I don't know. It's whatever. It wasn't terrible. It's just a weird change that I didn't like at the end. I also really like Aang and Katara, so I don't think that's happening.
It doesn't seem like it's happening, or at least not now.
And I'm going into my theory, because I've been saying about it for a while now.
Okay, lay it on me.
Okay,
lay it on me.
So during the animated show, it's Aang and Katara. But then there are some fans out there who go, oh, there's some tension between Zuko and Katara. When they're fighting, there's a lot of tension. So maybe they're going the fan route and like, okay, let's see if we can get this to kind of bud a little bit right now. Because that's dramatic. You have the person that you're going against.
Right.
You know.
Being your love interest.
Yeah. Which is obviously
then it's also, you know, water and fire.
Oh.
Opposites attract.
Very steamy.
Hey, I see what you did there.
Look at me. But yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But
that's a good theory, though. And honestly, if they did that, I wouldn't really mind it, to be honest. I think it would be kind of a cool change.
Maybe.
It depends on how they do it. And I think, if anything, it's probably not going to come until the third book. I mean, obviously, we know what's happening, or we have an idea of what's happening.
It could be in the second book, but it'd be towards the end of it.
I don't think it's going to happen until the end. Or not the end, but like the third series, or season, I should say.
Yeah, I don't know if I would like it or not.
I think
I'm here for the ride, baby.
Yeah.
All right, so choose your own adventure.
I think we got to go Iroh here.
You think you got to go Iroh? See, I was going to go Iroh last, but I'm following your adventure. So we're going
I think we got to go Iroh only Zuko. Because the if we go Aang, his end of his path is the end of the episode.
So that's very true. Iroh. Very true.
We go Iroh.
So Iroh is with Aang, but then he gets taken out.
Well, hold on. No, sorry. Go ahead.
He's going to take out of the prison, and Aang's like, where are you taking him? And where are they taking him?
Was it he that said it, or was it the guards? One of them
Aang says it, yeah.
No. That answers him. They say that they're taking him to the pit.
Iroh answers that. They're taking me to the... No. Somebody says the pit, and he's like, well, what's that? And Iroh goes, it's a prison camp for, you know, prisoners of war.
A prison camp, yeah.
People never leave.
Yeah, once they go there, you never hear from them again.
Yeah.
Which, like, so I think given the context of the entire episode, I understand, you know, what's going on. But it just kind of sucks because if you look at it from a real world perspective, like, that kind of shit happened and or happens in war.
Yeah.
And they've been doing this war for 100 years now. So it's like... Geez, like earthbenders go hard.
Earthbenders do go hard.
Yeah.
They're taking him out of the prison, and they start to like lock him up in chains and put him on a cart to get ready to leave. And he's out and about. And there's a flash over to Zuko, who is in the woods somewhere, and there's some guards that are.
Yeah, it's like a patrol of earthbending guards.
Yeah. And the last one is walking a little bit too lackadaisical behind.
Yep.
And the bushes rustle a little bit. So he looks in there. And kapow, boom, bang, fire.
That was some that was some good like comic book onomatopoeia there.
Yeah, it was. So he gets knocked out. You see Zuko come out of the bush, and he puts on the earthbender helmet and jacket.
Yeah.
And he catches up to.
Yeah, he's trying to take his place to pose as one of the guards there.
Yeah.
Because he's obviously on a mission to bust out Uncle Iroh.
Yeah. So I'm gonna stick with Zuko for a second. So Zuko gets to the prison cell. Aang's gone at this point in the show.
Right.
He's not in the prison cell anymore. But Zuko gets there, and he sees a guard, and he sees the prison cells are empty. And he's like, the guard's like, what are you doing here? Who
You're
are
not
you?
Supposed to be in here.
He's like, oh, I'm a new recruit. I've been here for a month. I was supposed to help with a prison transfer. I'm running late.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in so much trouble because I haven't had a good month. Can you please help me out? What's going on here? And he's like, well, the one prisoner is going to the pit. They left here.
No.
This way.
No, he says the one prisoner is going to meet with the king.
Well, no, he says the one prisoner is going to the pit. He goes, the other one is going to the king. And he goes, what do you mean the other one? And he goes, yeah, the bald one.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
So he knows where Iroh's going first, and then he hears about that, and he goes, and it clicks. He's like, well, that's Aang.
Right. So he's kind of like,
so
I got to make a choice here. Do I go after the Avatar, which is my main objective? Or do I try and save Uncle Iroh?
Right.
And then they cut away, and we don't hear back from him for a while.
Well, no, what I love here, though, is the guard says, what are you going to do?
Right.
He's like, to ask him, like, go do your job. But he's talking to him, like, what are you going to do? Which choice are you making?
Right.
As a life choice. You know, it's a little bit deeper. A
little bit.
Than just go do your job, man.
Yeah.
So, flashback to my boy Uncle Iroh. He's on the cart, and he kind of makes a smug comment like, oh, man, so many guards for me?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Which, I mean, I don't know if they necessarily know who Iroh is, do they?
Yeah, because that's why this is this is where you find out they knew. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean,
his whole trip is they know who he is.
Yeah, it's a good thing that they did put as many guards with him because, you know, Uncle Iroh is a legendary war general.
He's the Dragon of the West.
Yeah.
So he says that, and they stop the cart, and a guy comes back real calm. The guy's actually driving the cart, and he says to him, like, oh, it's just precautionary. There's a lot of people out here that if they knew that you were being transported, would probably come out and try to kill you. So we're doing it as a safety precaution.
Right.
And then he says something to him, kind of smug, and he ends up punching Uncle Iroh in the face. No, in the gut. In the gut. And Uncle Riley like bends over and is like, ugh. And he's like, so do you need anything else from me? Come on, don't be shy. It's okay. And like, it's real intense. And I was like, I'm fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Stays real calm because that's Uncle Iroh for you. And as they move on, they keep going through. And they have a stop so the soldiers can have lunch later on. And one of them comes over and starts talking to him. He's like, you know, at Bossing say, he hands Uncle Iroh water. And then right when Uncle Iroh goes to grab it, he pours it out.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, at Bossing say, they had to ration the water after the first year of the fight, of the battle.
Right.
So soldiers couldn't really get it. I mean, children and families couldn't get it. Soldiers got first lick. And he goes, my brother, who was, you know, kind soul he was, would take some of the soldiers' rations and go give it to the kids that needed it. He goes, he died at Bossing Se, burnt to a crisp. There was nothing left of him after like a battle of something. I think the East Wall or something. And I was just kind of sitting there. You can tell he feels bad, right? But he's also very stoic and like, I'm not giving in to this guy. And so the guy's eating an apple and telling him this story. He's like, I still smell smoke when I sleep. It never really leaves. And as he turns to eat his apple and walk away, he turns back and just smacks Iroh, like bitch slaps him in the face.
Yeah.
A little bit of blood on his lip.
Yeah. Well, it was coming from his nose, I think.
Oh, yeah. It was from his nose.
But clearly, and Iroh kind of mentioned earlier when he was in the prison cell with Aang that earthbenders and earthbender guards don't take kindly to any of their prisoners.
Yeah.
But clearly we can see here, because they know who Iroh is, because they know that he's a firebender, they're like laying it on extra thick.
Yeah.
Two C's.
Capital C's.
Oh, damn. Mm-hmm.
Thick. Because we're not even done with this situation yet before we get the crazy flashback. So Uncle Iroh says, you know, we were at war and I was a soldier. And the guy says something like, you were a monster. And Iroh says, when you go into war, sometimes the side of you that you don't want to see comes out. And he's like, is that your weak excuse for an apology?
No, he says, it's very close. He says,
I tried.
You know, in a war, sometimes people see things that they don't want to see.
I'm going to go back. I think we're both a little off.
We might be.
But the guy says, is that a weak apology? And he's like, I wasn't talking about myself, which pisses the guard off.
Right.
And again, smooth. I like this. A smooth bending of the rock.
Yeah.
Picks up this huge rock out of the
gigantic
ground.
Gigantic boulder.
Like the size of the cart.
Yeah.
You know, and
puts it right above his head.
Yeah. And Uncle Iroh doesn't budge.
Nah.
But the other guards are coming over like, hey, bro, chill the fuck out, man. Like, you can't be doing this shit. And he puts it down after like being angry. And he kind of just was like, I'm going to fuck you up later. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Uncle Iroh, I want a little hint here, too, has something after they turn around and walk away, has something in his coat pocket. And it's the White Lotus.
The little coin he got in the marketplace.
Yeah, piece.
The episode prior.
Yeah.
There was one thing, though. I think it was when he was hovering the rock over his head, or maybe like right after he dropped it. He had said, you know, it must be true. Like, you don't have any feelings or you're, like something along those
lines. You don't
lines.
Have, you, yeah, you have no soul. Right, you know nothing of loss.
Right.
And then Uncle Iroh kind of just straightens up a little bit. And you get a little zoom in on his face, and then we get the flashback.
Yeah.
And we get the flashback of two people walking away. You see Uncle Iroh in the background. You see a memorial thing in the background as well. And they're saying, so he left the battle. And he's like, yeah, after his son died. He's like, so his son dies a hero, and he's going to be known as a coward.
Right.
And then you see Uncle Iroh back there. And first you get Father Ozai paying his respects and saying, hey, you know, what's his son's name? Is it Lu Ten?
Yes.
Man, this scene. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So you see Uncle Fire Lord Ozai kind of go, hey, pay my respects. He died in service of the Fire Nation. You should be proud.
Yeah, and he's like, the efforts that your son had made will enshrine him in legend with the Fire Nation.
So then you see Zuko go to pay his respects to Lu Ten, which also the picture is very close to the picture you see in the animated show, which is really cool.
Yeah.
It's drawn the same way. It's not like a live picture. But Zuko goes to talk to Uncle Iroh, and he kind of says the same thing in a sense that Ozai says. But then as he walks away, he stops, turns around, and you start to get a little inkling of Leaves from the Vine in the background.
Yep.
And he's telling a story about a medal that Lu Ten had gotten for passing and being first in his class for soldiers.
Yeah.
So he gave it to Zuko, saying this is for men, for people who are supposed to be doing great things. And he gives it to him when Zuko was having a rough time in his classes.
Right.
In the military. And he goes on about how like he was always there for him and like, you know, he was a great person and all this. He pretty much spills out how much respect he had for Lu Ten and how you should be proud of him, not because of the war, because of how a good person Lieutenant was.
Right. And when he puts it in his hand, you know, he says, Lieutenant was the bravest, you know, soldier I ever knew.
Yeah. And then you get full on. So I think, tell me how you feel about this. There's a chair next to Uncle Iroh.
Right.
I don't think that's meant for anybody to sit in, unless maybe his wife, who I think has passed away. Because Zuko was walking past it, but then Zuko decides to sit down next to him.
Right.
And you hear Leaves from the Vine come in full freaking blast. Like, is it a piano or something? I don't remember. But it was like, you can tell it's Leaves from the Vine.
Oh, yeah.
So for people who don't know, and we don't have to go deep into it because it's actually a future thing. Leaves from a Vine is a lullaby,
it's a song, yeah,
in the Avatar world that Fire Nation people sang their soldier, their kids. And it's a very sad song. And Uncle Iroh, the actor, voice actor, was the last voice acting thing he did before he passed away.
Yeah, he sang this song.
Sang this song for his dead son, Lieutenant, in the show. And it's an incredible sad song.
Right.
And so you get this full orchestral thing of it. I didn't think we were going to get Leaves from the Vine this early in the show.
I didn't think so either.
And I read somewhere too that this is the first, like, the first thing they bought the rights to, the first music they bought the rights to.
Huh.
Which, okay, makes sense.
All right.
Anyway, so I'm not going to lie, I almost teared up when I started hearing Leaves from the Vine.
Oh, yeah. It definitely, it makes you emotional if you have the backstory to Iroh, everything that happened. You know, if you know that from the original, when you hear that, it strikes a chord.
I think, ooh, because it's a song.
Hey.
But also, I think if you have kids, like for me, I have a son, that Absolutely. Song kind of hits me a little harder.
Absolutely. I think I had kind of touched on things in the first episode that this show is hitting me different now that I'm in a different place in my life, now that I'm a father.
Yeah.
Certain things about the show I'm kind of feeling a little bit more. And this was definitely one of those times, especially like, you know, after Zuko sits down with him and they kind of zoom in on Iroh, and he's sobbing.
He's got tears. He's trying to keep a straight face, but tears are coming down his face.
The other interesting thing about this situation when Zuko comes up, when he first goes to pay his respects, you know, he's very proper, very, you know, by the book, very much trying to pay his respects as his father did, as, you know, just like a, I'm less here as a family member for you, and I'm more here as
royalty, and
I'm here as, you know, doing my royal duties to pay my respects. And that's when he walks away the first time, and then when he comes back to give him the medal, then you're getting like real raw Zuko.
Yeah. And I like this too, because you'll find out later how much Iroh cares about Zuko, but it shows that what Iroh's teaching Zuko throughout life is not to worry always about being formal, being that Fire Nation royalty. It's all about being a good person.
Right.
Because he also teaches him later on about how to be nice to the crew. Like, even earlier, he's like, he was just trying to help you.
Yeah.
In, like, episode 3. So it's kind of cool to see, like, he gives him, like, hey, I also want to tell you, he was just a great person. You know? You raised a good person. So
for sure.
Yeah, man. What a scene. What a nice callback to the animated show. And
Absolutely.
Done so well, I think. And you don't see the funeral in the animated show. This is a big change, actually.
Yes.
You don't even hear this song or know about it.
Till later.
Yeah. Till,
like, I want to say, like, book 3.
It's book 2.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's at a certain spot. Anyway, so he brings out the flashback. He's gone away. We have Zuko trailing, and he's at, a crossroads. And he's, like, looking left and right. He doesn't know where to go. You can hear, I like this, too. He doesn't, like, pin right onto that white marker. But you can see it in the scene yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, Zuko, I hope you see this.
Like, I all I could picture when you were just saying that was, listen.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Little Zelda reference. I like it. But he does see the white marker. So he goes pick it up. And it was wet. Like, there's water dripping from it.
Yeah.
It was weird for me. Yeah. But it felt natural. So he gets it and he's booking it down that way.
Right.
Something happens where they stop the cart again. I don't remember why, but Zuko comes in, guns a-blazing.
Oh, yeah.
And just knocking people back. And then Uncle Iroh knows his next move is to free me. So he just kind of turns and goes like this.
Gets the chains. Yeah. Splits them.
Yeah. And then Uncle Iroh, first of all, dope as hell. Did you notice he like made the chains hot, red hot?
Oh, yeah. Before he whipped the dude.
That was dope.
This whole scene was probably my favorite part in this whole episode. I'm gonna lie.
Let me ask you why it was a better fight scene than some of the other ones. Answer me. Why do you think it was better? Not as much slow motion.
True. Well, even in the episode prior with the fight in the woods with Jet and the Firebenders.
Not a lot of slow motion.
Yeah. I don't know why in the second episode with the Kyoshi Warriors, they did all that. That was...
A little too much.
Yeah. I don't know.
Either way.
This fight I thought was great. Again, great balance with the firebending, the martial arts, the earthbending even. You know, the guys that are trying to defend themselves and whatever. Uncle Iroh getting busy.
Iroh got real busy.
Yeah. I mean, he's... Like, you don't get the full extent of how powerful Iroh is. You know, in the episode prior, he's like, for the Fire Nation. And he does that huge fireball in the air. And in here, you see him, you know, he heats up the chain. He's whipping the dude. He's twirling around and doing all this stuff. But Iroh is like one of the most powerful firebenders in the entire Fire Nation.
In the anime show, it is rumored that he could easily have a good fight with Fire Lord Ozai.
Yeah.
But we never see that, unfortunately.
Right.
But maybe we will in the Netflix show. That'd be dope.
But this whole scene, I loved. The fighting was great. And
you still saw Uncle Iroh's compassion at the end.
Right. Because the other guards, they're kind of just knocked out or whatever. And the one that had mistreated Iroh this entire time, he's on the ground. And he's basically saying, like, do it. Like, kill me. Like, go ahead.
He's doing that, like... Every movie has like that scene where it's like, do it,
kill me now. But of course, Iroh doesn't do it because he's not the same person now as he may have been during those war times.
Yeah. And he even says to him, we've seen enough death already.
Right.
So he turns to walk away. But the guy then, first of all, dope ass earthbending move to do. I would just do it all the time. Pretty much turns rocks into needles.
Yeah.
Slash bullets and just flings them.
It does catch Iroh right in the back.
Yeah.
Like Zuko tries to push him out of the way because it probably would have went like in his spine.
And it would probably been like a bunch of them because it was more than one.
Right.
But only one hit him in the back. And he's bleeding. There's a little bit of blood.
Oh, yeah.
In the show.
Yeah.
It's nasty. But
it wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad at all.
Wasn't that bad.
But Zuko helps him up and he's like, hey, we should rest. And I was like, we got to get the hell out of here. More soldiers are going to come. Let's go.
Yeah.
By the way, Zuko knocks that dude the F out because you ain't doing that to Uncle Iroh.
Nah, hell nah.
Nah. So they get on a boat. They go away. The one thing he does say is like, we seem to either getting on or off a boat, Zuko. That just might be our lot in life.
Right.
And then there's a flashback again. We got to go to another great flashback.
Oh, yeah.
With Iroh and Zuko. When Zuko is banished, he has a little patch over his eye.
Yeah.
Where the
obviously.
Star is.
This is after a certain event
where he where
well when, let's not give that away.
Where he's going to have to go after the Avatar,
right?
Where he's commanded to go after the Avatar.
Yeah, he says to Uncle Iroh, you know, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm trying to
join you on this
journey. I've got everything I need.
All the tea.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Which made me happy again.
Yeah, Uncle Iroh loves his tea.
And Zuko's like, I don't need a babysitter. Like, gets quiet for a second, and Iroh's like, what about a friend? And he's like. Zuko says something along the lines of like, we're going to be gone forever. Like he wants me to go get the Avatar. It's the impossible basically.
Right.
And he says something about family.
Yeah. He says, you know, we're not going to be back home for a long time.
He says home. And he goes home. Like I said, everything I need is on this ship. And you hear Leaves from the Vine again, bro.
Yes.
And I'm about to cry. And you got freaking. And then he just goes, all the tea I need. Little Santa laugh, you know?
Well, and Uncle Iroh, he's, you know, just a beloved character. And I think he's growing on me more and more. Like the first episode, I liked Uncle Iroh, but he wasn't like full on there. I think by this point now, he's probably my favorite character in the show.
This guy's doing a good job. I think the show's doing a good job. And we said from the gate, it is going to be hard to make you want to like Uncle Iroh in this because it's a very tough comparison.
Yeah.
I'm liking it.
Yeah. I fully think at this point, Iroh's my favorite character on the Netflix version of the show.
I can't argue that. You know, there's not much argument there.
I mean, honestly,
Zuko might be up there.
I was going to say, even though we haven't gotten a ton of him, if I had to pick somebody else as a favorite
Commander Zhao.
Oh, I did forget about Commander Zhao. I do like him a lot as well.
Yeah.
But no, I was going to say, if I had to pick a next favorite character, Ozai.
Yeah. So they're doing a good job with their Fire Lord people, basically.
Yeah.
With the Fire Nation people.
Yeah. Ozai, played by Daniel Day-Kim, another
phenomenal
great casting.
Choice.
And just you can tell he is really trying to not necessarily mimic the Fire Lord in the animated series, but like,
but still
pay
be
honor to it, like pay homage to his character,
how menacing he is, how dangerous he can be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how, you know, he's the and a strong leader. Like everything you see is like, that's how I would picture Fire Lord Ozai.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we just like Fire Nation people better in the live action. That could just be it.
Maybe.
But let's jump over to Aang. All right. This is, he's in the prison cell with Uncle Iroh. Uncle Iroh leaves. Oh,
I do. I do want to, there's a part at the very beginning.
Go for
of the episode with Aang.
Go for
That's a flashback of his.
Oh, yeah.
So Aang, when, before he, you know, was no, like before the beginning of the show, essentially, this is a flashback way back. Aang had visited Omashu before.
Mm-hmm.
With and Gyatso. So, yes. And so there's a flashback here of him at Omashu, and a kid comes up to him and he's like, "Hey, Bumi." And he asks him, he's like, "How's the earthbending going?" And he says, "Oh, well, you know, I'm having some trouble with some of the forms. I'm really having a hard time with shaping things." And he shows him like this rock. And he's like, "I'm trying to shape this." And he's like, "It didn't come out very well." And Aang goes, "What are you talking about? It looks exactly like a sky bison.
Yeah.
And the kid's just like, "Oh, well, thanks." You know, so, you know, there's this flashback of him at Omashu before with this kid Bumi, who's a friend of his, and they have this very playful, like, you know, relationship.
They're giggling and laughing. Yeah, you can tell they're buddies.
Right.
Yeah.
And I had said before, one of the things, and I even mentioned earlier in this episode, you know, one of the things that's been missing is that playfulness, especially with Aang. I know I'm saying I wouldn't want to compare, but in the original animated show, he's a very playful character. And you know, you get some of that here. So
you
that
do,
was, that
yeah,
was
and that's
nice.
His arc. Like, that's his thing he has to get over in the animated show, right? He has to understand he's not a kid. That's just a kid. He has to understand he's the Avatar. And this, he kind of already understands he's the Avatar. So it's a little, what's his arc here?
Right.
So
we go to, he's in the cell with Iroh. Iroh gets taken away. He gets taken.
The guard, when Iroh leaves, the guard's like, "You're not as lucky.
Right.
You're going to go see the king."
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit, dude. Is the king going to murder him?
Right. Well, and the last time we saw the king was the very end of the previous episode.
Where he almost died.
Right, right. When Longshot was taking
a long shot.
Hey, at the blasting jelly briefcase that the mechanist had right in front of the king.
Yeah.
And as they realize he's getting attacked, they say, "Protect the king," and they pull him away.
Yeah.
So at this point, Aang's kind of just like, "Oh, well, I'm probably in big trouble here."
Yeah. So they have their meeting with the king. He's being held with the guards and everything, and the king comes out, and the guards are like, "Hey, here's the prisoner you looked for, the airbender." Or he says something like, he did this, and he's an airbender.
Right.
So the king kind of walks up to him, and he's just like, "All right." And he said something like, "This kind of cheap green stuff, this," and bark. And everybody's like, "What?"
Yeah, he says pine bark, some sort of herbs and whatever.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, huh? And he's like, he repeats the order again, "With steaming hot water, steep for 2 minutes.
Yeah. And he wants tea. So he has one of his people go get tea. And then he looks over at Aang and he goes, "He's not just an airbender."
No, he said, well, the guy says something like, "Well, he did this or he is this," and whatever. And he goes, "Wrong." And he's like, "What?" And he's like, "You're wrong. He's not just an airbender.
He's a master of all four elements.
And he's very good at skipping rocks."
And then that's when Aang kind of clicks and goes,
Bumi?
And he wants to give Bumi a hug, but the guards pull him back, which I thought was a little nice touch there.
Yeah.
And so the conversation goes on. He gets the tea, and then he gets mad. He's like, "Who told him to put what idiot
pine
bark in here?"
He's like,
and nobody says anything. And Aang's like, "You did."
Yeah.
So well, then,
and Aang is like, "How are you still alive?"
Oh yeah.
And he's like, "Oh,
I love
good
this.
Diet, you know, exercise, and a bit of luck." And he asks Aang, then he's like, "More importantly, how are you alive? And how are you still a child?"
And it's a long story.
Yeah.
I like when he says a little bit of luck. He goes, "Don't know if it's good or bad."
Right.
But yeah, because it is a bad 100 years, you know?
Right.
So after he gets told that you did that with the tea, he's like, throw him a feast.
Yeah.
And so then they have a big dinner.
And I like this whole thing because Bumi and Aang, obviously they had a very playful relationship as children.
Mm-hmm.
And though, even though Bumi's old now and he's recognizing it, and he's kind of going back and reverting to that playful type mindset.
Yeah.
But as the episode progresses, you kind of realize it's playful, but it has a different meaning, a purpose to it. Yes.
Yeah. So they have dinner. He does test Aang, like, hey, we have this kind of meat or this soup. Which one do you want? And he's like, I'll take the soup. I don't eat meat. And he's like, ah, that's right. Good choice. So it was testing to make sure it was Aang, I'm sure.
Right.
But you can tell it's kind of tense.
Oh, yeah.
And...
well, because, like, it's this big feast with a bunch of people, right?
Yeah.
And Bumi tells some joke that is, like, clearly a bad joke.
Yeah, it was kangaroo meat, and he says it will jump right into your mouth or something, and they laugh.
And all the people there are, like, laughing, like, you know, trying to just appease the king essentially. Yep. And Aang's kind of there like, that joke wasn't even that good.
Yeah, what's going on here? This ain't the Bumi I know.
Right. Well, and the thing is, like, you know, the king has essentially surrounded himself with a bunch of yes men, with a bunch of people who are there just to, you know, appease him and to make it seem as if, you know, what he's doing by, you know, essentially not doing anything is okay.
Yeah. And they get into a little bit of an argument across the table first. Like, Aang's like, I need to go to the Northern Water Tribe or other people are going to get, other benders are going to be annihilated. And Bumi makes a snide comment about the airbenders. Like, they were a little bit floaty anyway. And that pisses Aang off a little bit more. And then Bumi gets real mad. And I kind of like this scene. Like, he's walking down the table off to the side, and the camera's moving, like, through, like, the candles and the food and the people. And everybody that's there is just like this. Like, their head down, no facial expression whatsoever because they're scared. And Bumi gets up to him and is like, you haven't done anything for the last 100 years. I've been alive, having to make all these different decisions, like, and try to survive this war.
Right.
Like, what do you know? And so they leave to go, I guess, have a talk, right? And then they head off to a hallway and have a conversation. But Bumi then kind of attacks them, like, starts putting, like, these crystals around him.
Right, right.
And traps
them. It starts to, like, creep up his leg, and it's, you know, kind of not allowing him to move. But then Aang, like...
keeps breaking out of it.
Right.
Then, like, a bunch of them, like, wrap around Aang.
Yeah, they get, like, up to his chest.
Yeah. And then he breaks out of it again. He's like, Bumi, why'd you do that? And he's like, maybe I was trying to see, like, maybe you can't always just be quick and move or something like that. I can't remember what the test was.
Well, and he says then, too, he's like, maybe I just wanted some rock candy.
Which is a nice callback to the animated show. But then he turns around and bites the rock candy.
Yeah.
And they keep walking, and they're talking about basically just, like, life for the last 100 years has been terrible.
Yeah.
And that leads him to the last trial. Right? Am I missing anything between these two?
No. I mean, he gets to the end of the hallway, and Aang's kind of just like, you know, I don't have time for this. Like, I have to get going. I'm trying to, you know, go on my journey here to become the Avatar, and you're basically not letting me do this.
Yeah.
He says, all right, well.
And he does mention him. You're not the Bumi I remember. Like, you're very playful and fun. He's like, it's always games with you, Aang.
Yeah. And he's like, you know what? Let's have one last game.
Yeah. So they get in his room, and it's a big arena.
Yeah.
Which is very reminiscent of the animated show. He's like, you're going to fight me to the death.
Yeah.
And Aang's like, what?
He, like, whips his robe off, and you see he's kind of a little bit jacked.
For a 100-and-some-year-old guy.
Right.
Yeah, his body, his face is very wrinkled, but his body, no wrinkles.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and when he's walking around in every scene prior to this, he's kind of hunched over. He's moving real slow.
Yeah. Now he's moving like a normal old dude, you know?
And I wonder, too, like, not just here, but also in the animated show, like, does he walk around like this feeble old man on purpose just to, like,
put on that show,
put on a front?
Yeah.
You know, because he knows, like, okay, well, if I needed to, I could still rumble.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And it's not a bad fight by any means. You got earthbending was really cool in this again.
Yeah.
You got him, like, making big old stuff, and he's throwing rock discs at Aang.
Yeah.
Aang's dodging them. Makes Aang, like, go into quicksand, like,
yes,
which is kind of a cool earthbending move, like weakening the ground so
sure
you can fall through. But we did get another slow motion backflip from Aang.
I knew you were gonna say something about it. There were actually two in this fight.
Yeah, one was not a backflip. It was slow motion jumping over a rock.
Yeah,
and then the other one was slow motion backflip over a rock.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, Billy's gonna make a comment about this. I know.
It's just their thing, I guess. They're gonna keep doing slow motion backflips. I don't want to see the same thing every episode.
Well, maybe they'll switch it up for some other fight that
happened. But not a bad fight. I still enjoyed this fight.
Yeah, I mean, Bumi is not necessarily like the best earthbender.
He ain't the worst.
No, he for a 100-year-old dude, I mean, he can probably... He's probably the most powerful earthbender in the kingdom there.
In Omashu, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's throwing big, huge boulders at him sometimes. Sometimes he's splitting them in two. And Aang's, you know, doing what he can to either dodge out of the way or to push the boulders that he's getting deflect thrown them out of the way. I think at one point he even, like, makes, like, a bunch of small rocks that are going at him like bullets.
Yeah.
And Aang kind of just, like...
Swirls them around and throws them off.
So it was a decent fight. It wasn't... I didn't like it as much as the fight with Zuko and
the Earthbenders
with Uncle Iroh. But it was still a decent fight. And at one point, Bumi, you know, he throws something at Aang that then gets deflected up towards the ceiling of the arena.
Yep.
And then he brings down a huge boulder, like a gigantic one right above Aang, and Aang like is holding it above his head. And then out of nowhere, the ceiling starts to crumble and crack. And one of the, an equal size boulder comes right over Bumi, and Boomy's just chilling.
Yeah.
And Aang just goes and uses his other hand to like lift that. So he's got two big boulders, one in each hand, trying to be like suspended with his airbending.
To keep them both alive.
Right, right.
And then Bumi's like, well, here you go. As the Avatar, you're going to have to make some tough choices. Either I die or you die.
Yeah.
Which one you picking? And at this moment, there's a conversation that's happening too. And Bumi says to him, like, I had to make tough decisions, you know, right. For the last 100 years during this war. Do I give the food to the soldiers or do I give to the hungry children? Do I
save this city or this city?
Yep. Do I, you know, have to protect this side of the town more than this side? You know, it's just like all the tough decisions he had made, and Aang was just resting in ice.
And he tells him, he's like, these are the types of decisions that you're going to have to make as the Avatar. You know, so
yeah, you can't rely on friends, because he's kind of talking about him like you were gone. You can't rely on your friends.
Right. And you can tell, even though Bumi was being playful with him, even though he's doing all these tests, he's really hurt.
He's pissed off. Yeah.
That Aang wasn't there for the entire world, but more so for him as a friend.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's basically telling him, like, you know, if you save yourself, you win. I'll die, but you win.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what's the alternative here?
And then in slow motion, turnaround, run, comes Katara and Sokka around there. And this is kind of dope. Katara's like, save the king, Sokka. And she takes her water, whips on the ground. It turns to ice. Sokka's able to
slowly slide up
to the king and tackle him out of the way. And she's like, now, Aang. And he lets go of that.
Him.
So then he can control the other rock and get it out the way. And the whole purpose here of this moment, which I didn't mind, I liked a lot, was like, he says to Bumi, I can do it with my friends.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to do this, you know? And it kind of clicks for Bumi a little bit, and they have a nice conversation about, you know, this is not over yet. I know I was gone for 100 years, blah, blah, blah. So everybody's alive and well and safe.
Everything's good to go.
Yeah.
After this, then, they cut to a scene where it's like Aang, Katara, and Sokka. And King Bumi, and they're kind of just out on like a terrace overlooking all of Umashu.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the guards comes over and is like, oh, we've got some people in place here. And he's like, double up, you know, the guards over there, and then tell them I'll be coming down to see them. And I don't remember, somebody on Team Avatar is like, you know, what's going on? What are you preparing for? And he's like, the Fire Nation is going to attack.
Mm-hmm.
We got an anonymous tip. That they were going to be sending more forces our way, but we'll be ready. And they're like, oh, well, what happened?
And when
it's revealed at that point then that
the mechanist,
he alerted the security about all the spies, the Fire Nation spies that were in Umashu, rounded them all up and found out about, you know, the additional attack that was going to happen then.
Yeah. And Team Avatar is like, well, we'll stay and help. And Bumi's like, no. You gotta go up north. We can handle these guys.
Right. Which they totally can. I mean, the last episode, Jet at the very beginning, when he's getting them into the city, he's like, you know, try as they might, the Fire Nation has never been able to take down Umashu.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're on a mountain.
with big
they're
walls.
They're surrounded by gigantic walls.
Yeah.
They totally would be fine.
Yeah. But Boomy
maybe not from like the full Fire Nation.
But from a battle.
But from,
set,
you know, yeah, they can survive a battle. But Boomy it's very Helm's Deep like.
It is very, yeah, very Helm's Deep or Minas Tirith. Like very, Minas Tirith. Yeah. But yeah, so then Boomy says, but not after one more thing.
Yes.
And so this is a nice callback to the animated show. They Boomy and Avid and Aang are sliding down one of those big carts we talked about in the last
delivery
episode,
system.
And they slide down. They're having a good time laughing. And then like you see a big explosion at the bottom and you hear Boomy and Aang laughing. So that again, that was the playfulness that we've been missing out
yes,
on.
Yes. I'm glad that they brought that in.
Because that happened in the show. They did that before they left. Yeah.
And I'm hoping that they continue to bring in the playfulness just because I get that in this show they're trying to go for a more mature version of Aang in this, as far as him not having the playfulness and struggling more with not knowing what he's supposed to do and his whole journey as the Avatar. I get it. And I know I'm wanting more playfulness, but the other thing too is I feel like if they did bring in more playfulness, then we discussed this a little bit on the last episode, that it would kind of lose a little bit of its identity. Because it's like, is this show for kids? Is it more for, you know, a mature audience? I still don't think this is something that children should watch.
No, probably not. Just because.
I mean, I would say maybe 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
Younger than that, maybe, if you have a more mature child. But like Avatar the Animated Show, I could say you could watch that as like 5 or 6.
Yeah, 100%.
You know?
Yeah.
This, definitely not.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny. I'm watching with Clarissa. And she was like, oh, I should tell my sister to have her kids watch this. I'm like, nope.
No, we got people getting burned alive and screaming to death. Yeah, no.
Not something for kids.
No.
But yeah, that's the end of the episode there.
Yeah, they have a good time flying down and it closes with the credits. And I'm going to be honest, man, I think they did a good job. The show, the problem it's having is there's a lot of stories to tell within 8 episodes. So there's going to be a lot of mixture of stories, a lot of changing of stories. However, I've been enjoying how they have these branches and some of them connect during the episode. I've been enjoying that.
Yes.
I loved the callbacks in this episode to the animated show. Might not have been quite as accurate as the animated show, and that didn't bug me one bit.
Right.
It was nice callbacks, and it was enough to make me go, oh, I remember that. It was awesome. But then we get back to what's really happening.
Now, here's one thing I want to just talk about real quick before we finish up this episode. We already know, and we had said during the last episode, seasons 2 and 3 have already been greenlit, right?
Yes.
And the official like promotional art shows that book 2 and book 3, you know, or seasons 2 and season 3, you know, one's going to be earthbending, essentially, and then the last one's going to be firebending, right?
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be 2 or 2 and 3 seasons, or do you think they're going to TikTok us and season 3 is going to be a part 2, like one part and then another part?
I would rather them do that, but they're probably going to do just 3 seasons.
You think so?
Yeah. I would rather have more episodes so you can tell more stories with in-depth stories. But
I think it depends on the successfulness. Is that a word? Successfulness?
Yeah, sure. Hold on.
Of season 2. Then again, maybe they're going to shoot seasons 2 and 3 back to back. I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope that they extend it, or if they don't, you know, part two us on season 3, which normally I hate when shows do that. With this, I wouldn't mind.
Same.
If they don't do that, then I hope that the show is good enough and brings in enough subscribers that they maybe then continue to do Legends of Korra.
They could. Yeah.
But yeah, that's the end of this episode. Let us know what you have been thinking about Avatar so far. A couple of you guys out there have mentioned some stuff on either our Facebook or our YouTube. So keep interacting with us. Let us know what you think about this episode. Give us your thoughts. And, you know, maybe we'll shout you out in the next episode.
Hell yeah. All right.
All right, y'all. Catch you next week.
Peace.
Peace.